This morning, I would like to share with you about faith, and what I'm calling this is biblical faith. There's a lot written about faith, and people. It's a big topic. A lot of people have, there's a lot of confusion about faith, what faith is, what it is to have faith, to live in faith. So what I wanted to do is take a look at the scriptures and see what exactly is God saying about faith, so that we have an understanding far as from what he tells us and not things that we hear or things that, you know, we've believed in the past. So let's turn to Hebrews 11. And I want to start in verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, talking about God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I just want to read this again. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So here is the requirements far as faith is concerned. All right. We have to believe that he is. Okay. That God is who he has proclaimed himself to be throughout the scriptures. That he is that God. And that he, talking about God, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you also are supposed to believe that this same God is going to reward you. Reward means reward, help, that he's going to be there for you as you seek him. It's not going to be something that you're going to do in vain. You know, a lot of people believe, like, I'm going to seek God, and then I wonder if he's going to answer me. I wonder if he hears me. No, you have to believe that God is, and you have to believe that this same God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, you're not going to seek him, and he's not going to hear you, listen to you, respond to you. You absolutely know that he will. Okay, that's the requirements. Oftentimes, people talk about circumstances go on in their life or somebody else's life, and they're talking to you about it, and they say, "Well, I don't know if I have enough faith to know that this is going to work out or whatever." That's not what we just read. What God says is that we are to have faith in him and believe he is rewarder. So this is the question, right? It's rhetorical. You don't have to answer me. But you can in your mind, your hearts. No matter what the situation is, what's going on, can you believe that God is, that he is the God that he proclaims himself to be in the scriptures? That's the first part. And do you believe that that same God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, that you know that if you cry out unto him, that he's going to respond to you? That is the faith we're supposed to have. It's not what is God going to do in this situation. See, that's something that we project into. That's not what this said. We're not supposed to look, I have enough faith that this is going to work out. That's not what this said. And as we look through it, we'll see that that's not it at all. all I have to do in any given circumstance that goes on in my life is believe that God is who he says he is, and that when I cry out unto him and I seek him, that he is going to respond to me. That's it. That's the faith that I'm required to have to then see God move and help me. That's it. I don't have to believe how the situation is going to turn out, what God's going to do in this. I just have to believe that God is God, and that when I seek God, that God is going to respond to me. Okay? And it seems like maybe a little thing, but it's a very big thing, because most people do not have that type of understanding about biblical faith. They think something different than what we just read, that what God just said, this is what it is, okay? And it takes you in a different path, takes you somewhere else, okay? Let's back up a little bit. And I want to go back to, we're staying in chapter 11, but I want to go back to verse 1, okay? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. That word hoped means expected or an expectant. It means that it's something that I believe is getting ready to happen in the future. Hasn't happened yet. I can't see it right now, but I believe it is going to happen. Okay, that's the word hoped here. All right. It says it's the evidence of things not seen. This faith that we have, okay, which is based in God, and that God is going to respond to us, we believe God. We believe in God, and we believe that God is going to respond to us. It's not about the circumstance at all, okay? This faith, people say, well, faith is, you know, you can't put your hands on it. You know, it's, what is it? Well, there is a substance to it. There is an evidence to it. Real biblical faith, we may not be able to touch it, but when we see it in somebody, it's evident, okay? Verse 2, for by it, this faith, which has the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I want to read verse 3 again. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That world, that word worlds is ages. Okay? In other words, periods of time. All right? And I'm going to explain that as we go along. Through faith, we understand that the worlds, the ages, were framed by the word of God. It was framed by the word of God. God let us know something that was going to happen during a time period. He was directing, he was guiding, and we believe that because that word comes from God, and we believe who the God of the Bible is, okay? It says that they were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. In other words, it came from God. It has nothing to do with the natural. It's the supernatural. It's about God. Okay? Now, these ages that it's talking about is what you're going to see in the next verses. It is the time periods that God worked in the world through his word, through these different people of faith, where their faith was evidenced, it was seen. We can read about it, even though we weren't there. We can read about it, we can understand it, and we can see it and understand it for ourselves, even though we weren't there when it was happening, because it was recorded for us, okay? Verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It starts going through Abel, you have Enoch. It's starting to tell you about the different people. All right. This was the different ages. In other words, their lifespans, the time periods where God worked through these people and you saw their faith evidenced and you saw the word of God evidenced in their life as they were committed to God. When you read the different records, then you get an understanding of what happened in each one of these time periods through these people's lives, if everybody follows what I'm saying. Verse 6, now we're going to go back to verse 6, says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, he moved with reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. All right, so the beginning of this verse in 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Remember in verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He was warned by God of things that were not seen yet. But he had a faith, a belief, a hope that what he was told was going to come to pass, even though it wasn't happening yet, that it was going to happen. And because of that, because he believed in God and he believed God was a rewarder of those who seeked him, he believed what God told him and he moved with fear. Okay? What I want to do is take a look at that record, just a small part of that record, and see exactly what was going on with Noah. As we read the record, then you get to see his faith evidenced and you get to see it, what it looks like. And it's very simple. It's he believed God and he believed that God was going to be with him and help him. And so because he believed that, he listened to what God said and he did what God said to do. It's just that simple. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 1. Oops. We'll start in verse 1 here, Genesis chapter 6. It says, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. So people started marrying one another. Okay? Verse 3. And the Lord and Yahweh said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. I'm not going to comment too much on that. As we read further, it explains that, and then I'll point that out to you. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. So these same men who were initially described as they were giants in the earth in those days. They started marrying these women. They were bearing children. And those same men who were the giants in the earth, they were mighty men. In other words, they were men of renown, of great whatever, that people knew who they were. They were doing things that people knew who they were. That's what it's talking about. They were mighty. They were giants. You know, like you say, Nat King Cole was a giant in singing, in music. He was a giant. Not that he was physically a giant. His position in music is that such it overshadowed the other people that are in the same position. He was like considered a giant. These people who were marrying these daughters started doing things. We don't know what things, doesn't say, right? But they were of renown. They were mighty. They were considered people that people looked up to and people, you know, thought something of them. All right? That's what it's talking about. Verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Well, the things they were doing weren't for God. They were great, but they weren't great in terms of following God. Okay? Verse 6, and it repented Yahweh that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Can you imagine God? This is what God thought of this. I don't really recall if there's any other place where God says something like this. But that's deep, okay? It repented Yahweh that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And Yahweh said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. I am going to basically destroy everything that I just created. Right? But, verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. So we know that Noah was a person of faith because when we read in Hebrews, it started listing the people of faith who walked with God. They believed in God and they believed that he was a rewarder of those who diligently seeked him. And then it started giving you a little list. Okay, of some of the different people throughout the scriptures who had this kind of faith. Noah was one of the people that was listed, which we're reading his record now, right? Verse 10, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. All flesh. So whatever it was that was going on, it was in direct disobedience to God. They were not following God. We know one of the only people that were was Noah. Okay? He walked with God. And he had grace in God's eyes, which is unmerited favor, okay? Means you can't work for it. Verse 13, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So I am going to destroy them with the earth. When you go back to verse 3, it says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I'm not always going to be fighting with them, like this tug of war thing going on. for that he is also flesh. In other words, flesh that they're sinful. Okay, they're doing sinful things. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Well, in verse 12 and 13, it's telling you why it's going to be 120 years. Because I'm getting ready to judge the earth, and a couple of verses before that, I'm getting ready to judge the earth. I'm getting ready to wipe everything out. They got 120 years before this goes down. That's the 120 years, okay? So he's not going to strive with them for forever because they only got a certain amount of time when this thing is going to go down, and it's 120 years, all right? So it was 120 years, and when you read the record that Noah was working on this ark, that's how long it took him to build this ark, which we're not going to go over all of the measurements and all of the things and what he had to do, but the point is that it took a whole period of time. And also, we're not going to go to this, but in Jude, because people talk about this also, well, it's not fair. How did God destroy a whole society of people, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not right. Well, in the book of Jude, it says that Noah, and I think it's Jude, it's either Jude or Peter, but it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Guess what? Noah was preaching to the people during this period of time before the judgment came. Noah preached the righteousness of God and for them to repent. They didn't. And so the judgment came upon them. All right. So it wasn't that nobody had a chance. Nobody knew what was going on except for Noah. And then God just did what he did. Oh, that's unrighteous. No. God told him what was going to happen, and God had him preparing for that day when it was going to happen. But he also was speaking to the people so that they would repent. Nobody did. And then so therefore the judgment went down. Okay. That's just little tidbits when you're reading through the Bible. It refers back to things. And when you put it all together, it gives you a bigger understanding of what was going on. So, like I said, that's either in Jude or in Peter, where it talks about that Noah was a preacher. I think it's Peter, actually, where Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Okay? So he preached. It means to herald, to speak. He let the people know. People didn't listen. Let's go down to verse 22. It says, thus did Noah, which is God gave him the instructions about how to build this ark, the size of the ark, you know, the animals, what kind of animals, how many animals, you know, how to put them in. That's what the instructions are, all of that other stuff. And then it gets to this, and he says, thus did Noah. So Noah did what God said. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. So what you see is, all right, and we're just going to look at that section of it. What you see is that God speaks to Noah. God lets Noah know. There's nothing but corruption going on here. To the point that I'm so grieved that I'm gonna wipe it all away. Okay? Here's what I want you to do. You're going to start working on this ark. You're going to start building this ark, right? It's going to take them 120 years to build the ark. And in that meantime, like I said, Noah spoke to the people. Nobody listened to what Noah said. But, you know, now I want to take you to somewhere else just so that you can see something. Let's go back to Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 4. Now, this to me is what is so amazing about this faith that Noah had, that Noah believed God, and he believed that God would be a rewarder, that God would help him. Okay? It says, here in verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that Yahweh Elohim made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God, for Yahweh Elohim, had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. I want you to understand something, because we grew up in a time where it rains. That's part of how it goes. There was no rain in Noah's time. We just read it. There was no rain. Never rained. Ever. Until Noah. Until that time. Ever. No one ever saw rain. No one knew what rain was. How did God water everything? Just told you. There was a mist that came up from the ground, which watered everything. That's how God did it. Didn't do it through rain. Okay? No rain. God tells Noah, I'm going to cause it to rain. It's going to flood. It's going to kill everybody. You need to build this ark. What rain? I never saw any rain. He believed what he did not see yet. He believed God. He knew who God was. God told him, it's going to rain. What's rain? I don't know. He said it's going to wipe out everything. He said, I have to build this ark. That's going to protect me, right? I have to put these things in the ark, and then I'll be able to live. I'll have food. I'll have whatever I need for, you know, when this day comes. He followed him. He believed him because he believed God, and he believed God was a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, right? You have to think about it. You have to really think about this, right? He never saw rain in his life. You know, to us, it's a common thing. And when you think, you know, there's been some pretty bad rain things going on in California and a couple of other places, right? You know, even like in Texas, you know, the last couple of years been some rain is pretty violent. When it starts falling, where it's flooding stuff, it's pretty violent. Now, how violent do you think it was where it flooded that whole part of the earth where everybody drowned? We never even seen anything like that before. But again, he never saw rain, but he did just what God said to do. No hesitation, no nothing. He did what God said to do. That's a faith that you can see. Do you find, that's the point I'm trying to make. That's a faith that you can see. Can I touch it? Can I taste it? No. But if somebody's walking around with that kind of faith, that God told me something and I know that God is going to be with me, I'm doing it. I don't care if I never experienced it, seen it, understand what he's talking about. I know what he told me to do. That's what I know. He said, build this ark. Said put these animals and this food and store it in a certain way. That's what he said to do. That's what I'm going to do. That's a faith that has substance. That's a faith that's evidence. And when people walk with that kind of faith, then they can do the same stuff that you see in chapter 11. When I say that, I'm talking about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Moses, Abram, all of those people, because we read some of those records and we almost make them out to be superheroes, you know, Superman, Batman, whatever, Spider-Man. Do you understand what I'm saying? We start putting them in the category of superhero, like they did it, I can't do it. Like, no, because the common denominator is faith in God. They didn't do anything. What they did was, is they believed who God is, and they believed that he was a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Earlier, I asked you, do you think in whatever circumstances that you could believe that God is who he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? Long as you can believe that, then you can be a Noah. You could be an Abram. You could be a whoever. There's a whole list of people, and it even tells you that these aren't even the whole list of people. It gives you a bunch of people just for you to have an understanding, but it's whoever's in the Bible who followed him. They're part of that list. It says it's too long to list everybody. That's what it says when you read through all of Hebrews 11, okay? So all we need to do is have that kind of faith, just like what God says, not the faith that we want to think what is faith or whatever we believe faith is or whatever. All we have to believe is that God is God and that God is going to hear me and he's going to be with me and he's going to help me. As long as I have that, God can work through me just like he worked through Noah, just like he worked through whoever, because whatever God tells me, I'm going to believe it and I'm going to do it. And that's what's required for God to work in your life. That's all that's required. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how young you are, whether age or how long you've been in the Word. Okay? It doesn't matter. All that matters is that's what you're doing. If that's what you're doing, then God can work through you. If you're not doing that, God's there, but it's hard to work through somebody that's not following what needs to be followed so that God can do what he needs to do. Do you follow what I'm saying to you? So now I want to look at just a couple of things in the Word. Understanding what God is talking about far as faith. Faith is believing in him and believing that he is a rewarder. So now let's look at a couple of things that God talks about in his Word and understand that if we have that kind of faith, that we can expect these things in our lives, period. Okay? Let's go to Psalm 119, verse 50. Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort in my afflictions, for thy word has quickened me. In some of the translations, it says, thy word has revived me. This is my comfort. My comfort is in God's word. Why? Because God's word comes from God, and I believe that God is and that he's a rewarder. So I believe that God is who he says he is throughout the Bible, and I believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do, that he's going to help me as I seek him, right? So if I believe that and God's word is here and it tells me things, then God's word is my comfort. Whatever it is that God tells me I need to do in a particular situation or circumstance, that's my comfort because I know God is going to back it up. It's not about whether I have faith to see something happen. I believe in God. I know God's going to do it. I know God's able to do it, right? There's a thing that is in the Gospels. I didn't look it up what Gospel it's in and what verse, but it says, with men, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. It's God. It's about God. It's not about us. It's about God. Even our faith is not about us. We just have to believe that God is who he is and that God is going to respond to us and help us as we look to him and seek him. That's all we have to do. Long as we do that, God works and does whatever it is that he's going to do. Let's look at another section here. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. Starting in verse 3, we're going to read 3 and 4. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Version. 2 Corinthians 1 in verse 3. Okay, Okay, everybody there? So this is the Amplified version. It says, blessed, gratefully praised, and adored be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts and encourages us in every trouble so that we will be able to comfort and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Okay? We just read in Psalms 119:50 that this comfort is God's word. The things that God tells us we need to do so that we can know God, that we can be in relationship with God, you know, in terms of gathering together, in terms of prayer, in terms of us meditating on his word. All of those things are different things that God talks about in his word, right? That is our comfort. It talks about how God is merciful and how God, his grace, right? All of these different things are in the scripture, and there's also examples of God doing these things in people's lives in the scripture, right? So that is our comfort. When things are going, that is our comfort. And here it says in verse 4, who comforts and encourages us in every trouble so that we are able to comfort and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted of God. When everything was going crazy in my life just before I got into the Word, okay, there was a bunch of stuff going on. The person who first spoke to me about God, the fellowship that we went to, she instructed me in the Word of God. That's what she did. She instructed me in the Word of God where to go to understand about the things that were going on currently in my life and how to deal with it. From what God says to do, right? I believed God was who he was, and I believed that he was going to help me, and so I did what he said, and God comforted me. And whenever I speak to anybody else, I would then tell them the same thing that was told to me. In other words, I would give them the word of God. That's how so the comfort I was comforted with, I comfort somebody else. If somebody's, you know, is going through something, I comfort them with the same comfort I was comforted with, which is the word of God. Okay. Let's go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Starting in verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts. That word shall is it will definitely happen. Absolutely. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is something he's telling you. This is what you do. All right? Do this. And you're going to have this peace. Why? Well, if I know something's going on in my life and I believe that God is who he says he is and I believe that God is a rewarder of those who seek him and I'm seeking him, then I believe that whatever's going on in my life currently, whatever this problem is, a situation or whatever, I believe God is going to intervene and help me. That gives me a lot of peace. Gives me a lot of peace. Now, it doesn't say anything about me knowing how he's going to do this. Do you see what I'm saying? People get caught up. Well, how is God going to do it? I don't know. I'm not God. That's God's business. How he's going to do it, I just know that he is going to do it. That's what I'm supposed to believe. When Joshua was young, right? Not to throw you in here, but it's okay. You'll live. when Joshua was young and Joshua came to, you know, me and his mother, and he said, oh, I need this. I need you to do this for me, whatever, for school or whatever. I need something for whatever. I don't think he went back in his room. You could tell him. I don't think he went back in his room and said, I wonder if they could do it. I wonder if I could have it. I wonder how that's going to work. How they going to do it this way? It was like I asked my parents before times and times, and it got done. It's just like an assumption. Well, I'm going to ask them to do this thing, and they're going to do it. It's going to get done for me. You know what I'm saying? That's how we're supposed to approach God. I believe who God is. I believe he says who he is. He's revealed who he is in his word. All I have to do is believe that and believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That doesn't mean that I know how God's going to work in a particular situation to help me. It means I believe he will. That's it. Just like John spoke about a couple of weeks ago with Moses, and he approached the Red Sea. Moses, God didn't tell Moses what was getting ready to happen before they got to the Red Sea. He didn't tell Moses. If you read the record, when Moses got there, he was looking around just like everybody else was in Israel. Like, what's going on? There's the Red Sea. Here comes the Egyptian army. What's going on? And God said, oh, raise the stick. He did what God said to do. And then, boom, the sea parted. It's not that God told him in advance, well, when you get there, I'm going to tell you to do this in the season. No, that's the point. These great people of faith, it's not that, like I said, it's not that they're different than us, right? God didn't tell him anything beforehand either. What it was is he believed that God is who he says he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. As long as we have that same faith, then God works in us the same way. Much the very same way, you know, almost exactly, which means when it's time for it to happen, then I'll let you in on it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, you know, it's not like 2 months out and this thing is going on and God's whispering in my ear, don't worry about it. I'm going to do it like this. It's going to be fine. No, I'm supposed to trust him. If I trust him, I trust him. And then when the time comes, God then whispers in my ear and says, okay, do this. And then I do it, and then boom, whatever it is goes down. And then, okay, praise the Lord, right? That's what we're all. But that's what it is. It's not about me knowing anything except for I know who God is and I know that he's going to be there for me. So let's go to back to Hebrews 11. I'm going to read verse 6 and 7. In the Amplified Version, because I like the way this is worded, and I want you to think about what this is saying. This is an Amplified Version, and I'm going to read it. This is Hebrews 11. I'm going to read 6 and 7. It says, it's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. By faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see and acted on what he was told. The result? His family was saved. His act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the righteousness of the believing world, which was only him. Because when you read the record, it says that God allowed him to bring his family because of him. It wasn't even that the other members of the family were righteous. It was that he was righteous. And God said, you can take these family members with you because you're righteous and I found grace in my eyes with you. Not that they were righteous like Noah. They weren't. They weren't. Right? They were just like the rest of the people that were in the earth. Okay? Says this, his act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and righteousness of the believing world. As a result, Noah became intimate with God. In other words, he walked with God, right? He knew God. God knew him. He walked with God. He was in fellowship with God. Okay? And that's all that is required for us, to see God work in our lives, however that goes, you know, however that works in different situations. You know, again, the people of, you know, Hebrews 11, you know, they did great things, but it was because they believed who God is, and they believed that God was going to be a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And because of that, God was able to work in each one of their lives during their period of time, which we can look back and see, the ages that he worked through all of these different people. When you read those different records, if you go back on your own and you read those different records, you can see how God worked his word and what he was doing in the world through their lives, through their particular circumstances and situations, each one of them. And, you know, and it looks different with each one of them because there was different things going on, if you know what I mean. But we can see that faith evidenced in their lives and how God worked in the world through those people, through their time periods in their lives. That's what it's talking about, okay? So that's what I wanted to share with you. Let's just close with prayer. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for, Father, that we know that your word is truth and that your word, Father, emanates from you and that your word is the same as you are. That we can trust your word, Father, because your word is who you say you are and what you're going to do. Help us, Father, to have the type of faith that you require us to have, Father. Help us, Father, to see that and to believe it and to walk in that kind of faith, Father, and to see you work in our lives, Father, as you have with all of the great men and women who have had that faith before us, Father. I thank you, God, for all of these things, for our lives today, and for you just being with us, Father, for the rest of this day and going into the week. And I just give you the praise and the glory. I also thank you, Father, and ask you to bless the food that we're going to partake of, Father, in a little while, and also for those who give, that you would bless them mightily, Father. So I thank you for these things, and I give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.